Almighty and gracious Lord God, we come to thee in prayer, and we beseech thee that thou wouldst bless thy word, while thou open our hearts, lead us in thy truth, will thou fill our mouth with words to pray, grant us wisdom, enlighten the eyes of understanding and a heart that is eager to listen to thee. Will thou remember us this evening? For Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Tonight, I would like to turn with you to the book called Habakkuk, the prophecy of Habakkuk, chapter 3. Habakkuk, chapter 3. That is Habakkuk's prayer. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Sigiono. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years, in the midst of the years make known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. And his brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. Before him went the pestilence, and burning coals went forth at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered, the perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea, that thou didst ride upon thine horses and thy chariots of salvation? Thy bow was made quite naked, according to the oaths of the tribes. Even thy word, Selah. Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. The mountains saw thee, and they trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear. Thou didst march through the land of indignation. Thou didst thrust the heathen in anger. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed. Thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation unto the neck. Selah. Thou didst strike through with the staves the head of his villages. They came out as a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was as to devour the poor secretly. Thou didst walk through the sea with thine horses, through the heap of great waters. When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines. The labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places. To the chief singer on my stringed instruments. So far, the reading of the Word of God. I would like to meditate on the second verse of this chapter. Verse 2 of Habakkuk chapter 3. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. In this book, we find the prophet speaking to God about the injustice and violence of the Chaldeans. This happened in the years after Josiah's reign. The Lord gave his law back to his people, but after Josiah's death, nothing of this reformation remained. And Habakkuk sees the injustice and idolatry in Judah and is very concerned, since Babylon is threatening Judah. The decay is so obvious in the country. He fears a very unstable future, and he has no hope for Israel, since they are overpowered by the harsh and brutal Chaldeans. Habakkuk sincerely fears the Lord. He is his servant, a prophet of the Lord. But he doesn't understand God allowing the Chaldeans to destroy Judah. Yes, the people have sinned, but do they all need to be punished by a nation that commits worse sin? He cannot discern God's purpose. He doesn't understand the Lord's wisdom. Why does the Lord not intervene? The Lord does not deliver his people, but let them fall into the hand of evil. And Habakkuk struggles with the difficulties of his days. He has heard the Lord's speech, but he does not understand. He's very distraught. And Habakkuk's response is so understandable when we compare his days with our own. There's so much going on in the world and church. God's church is constantly threatened. There's confusion and division. Nowadays, our churches are literally empty. And what about all the worldliness in church and the apostasy which already started decades ago? Who would not lament? The lukewarmness and weakness is real and visible in every congregation. Who would not mourn? Well, Habakkuk did. And we find him here debating with the Lord, almost arguing. Instead of a revival, the Lord chastens his people. He raised the Chaldeans who will come and destroy the country and bring the covenant people into captivity. How can God do so? How can God allow these wicked people doing unjust things to those who are more righteous than they? Habakkuk believes God's faithfulness. He believes that God, the God of the covenant, cannot lie. And yet he cannot understand God using wicked people to punish his covenant people. To Habakkuk, the cure is worse than the disease. Who would not be affected? The church in Western Europe and North America has become weak. And in our days, it is more than weak. The world is held in the grip of a virus, and we are in the grip of a government with its endless efforts to get control of a virus which seems to be impossible. We live in a society that has its idols. Our society is focused on self, on economic growth, on good health, on pleasure and entertainment. Babies are killed in the womb, and our society wants to celebrate immoral sex, and the government wants to impose its sexual and gender agenda on us. You will find Habakkuk on your side if you want to oppose these oppressions. We see all kinds of threats, and it looks like the church is being forced to be silent. Who would not lament? Should we stand up? Shall we pray for the Lord to intervene? Maybe the Lord is intervening by chastening us. We believe that the government of the world, of the whole world, belongs to the Lord. Why is God doing this? Is it to punish the world? To warn the world against the day of judgment? Or is God chastening his own people? As long as we continue to think that the world should change and others should learn more humility, then we still don't get the message. Then we display spiritual blindness and maybe even spiritual deadness. God's chastisements are to awaken us from our sleep of death, because we are asleep if our own concerns are first and foremost. Then we have not been awakened by God's word, either by his mercy nor by his chastisements. We are in serious danger if we are careless about our own soul and don't worry about how we can escape the coming judgment. And as long as Habakkuk keeps on focusing on the unjust and violent oppressors and on their means by which they oppress people, he remains sad and desperate. He thinks about the near future and questions how God's raising up the Chaldeans against them can ever be for their good. And as long as he keeps focusing on what is visible, he's amazed and loses perspective. But how different when he again realizes that God is God, and that he is but a weak, feeble creature, and moreover, a sinner. Habakkuk's thoughts are led to the temple, and he now realizes that God is almighty, wise, suffering, and just. To God, the earth is nothing but his footstool, and that makes him small. And he feels ashamed and realizes that his question and concerns about God's governing are caused by his ignorance and blindness. And Habakkuk now sees his arguments as his ignorance. The Lord opens his eyes and shows him his attributes. And now he confesses, I was afraid. No, he's not afraid of the Chaldeans anymore. He's not afraid of what the future will bring. He's afraid because he fears the Lord. That's what it means. He has holy reverence and awe of God's majesty. And now Habakkuk realizes that whatever God does by his power and sovereignty, there's only one fitting response. Namely, laying his hand upon his mouth and bowing under God's chastening hand. And he says in chapter 2, verse 20, let all the earth keep silence before him. That does not mean that he may not seek the Lord in prayer anymore. On the contrary, but his speech has changed. And now he has heard and is silenced. And he humbles himself and prays, O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. Now he does not plead with the Lord to remove his chastening hand. He does not beseech the Lord to avert the Chaldeans' violence. He does not even pray for relief. Habakkuk's concern is not, first of all, how he and his people will survive, but how God's cause will be maintained. His work, his kingdom, his counsel, his honor and glory are Habakkuk's only concern. And whether the Chaldeans will overextend their hand, whether they will do injustice to God's people, is not important. What matters is God's work. Revive thy work, meaning sustain and restore thy work. That in the midst of the years, or in other words, in the midst of all the trouble and difficulties and oppression we experience right now, have we learned to pray like this? We see what is going on in the world and in our country. It's not by chance, I believe, that anti-Christian laws are being introduced. Well, we are also restrained by a virus and government restrictions. God's chastening is to purify us, to open our eyes to our own deceit, and to see God's kingdom first. Who does not fear of being overpowered by all that oppresses us today? Habakkuk is afraid that even God's church will disappear under so much violence and enmity. But now he has only one concern. Whatever will befall God's church, that God will sustain his people, that his people will not be utterly destroyed. When he considers God's just justice, he fears. Habakkuk sees dark clouds, thunder and fire. O Lord, revive thy work. Let thy word be preached and continue to teach and instruct us. Will thou continue to apply thy word to our hearts and make room for thyself time and again? Forsake not the works of thy own hands. Remember thy cause. Remember thy church in the storm and purify and sanctify her for thy own glory. He prays that the Lord will fulfill his counsel. Will the Lord not do so, since he's faithful? Yes, he will. And yet the way in which God fulfills his counsel is the way of prayer. It pleases the Lord if we cling to his throne of grace, beseeching him for his mercy and confessing our unworthiness. That is what Habakkuk does. And this is something we all need to learn. I don't know your personal situation, Maybe you are going through a very deep valley and you are despondent when you look at self and your circumstances. But let us look to the Lord and be most concerned about His work. Lord, revive it. Let the glory of Thy name determine my prayer and expectation. Let me be purified by all that befalls me, so that only Thy work will remain. We should not forget that when the Lord revives His church, there will always be the fire, will always be the fire of purification. And that fire hurts. That fire burns away our superficial desires, making room for a God-orientated life. Habakkuk fears God's work will be utterly destroyed. God would not be unjust if He consumed His own people. And yet he prays that the Lord will remember His work, because in that way, full redemption will be revealed. That's Habakkuk's hope. The righteous shall live by faith. God will redeem His people by faith. The unjust will be sentenced on the judgment day. And then every oppressor of God's people must give account to God. It also means that on that day, God will make all things right. Then God's people will be fully delivered. The Lord is chastening His people to prepare them for the day of judgment. When the Lord Jesus speaks about the signs of the times, He encourages His people. Luke 21, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for redemption draweth nigh. Habakkuk's prayer closes with a profound supplication. In wrath, remember mercy. God's mercy is Habakkuk's only hope. He acknowledges God's just wrath, and yet he entrusts himself to God, pleading one of God's attributes. If God's justice is tempered by His mercy, then the righteous has nothing to fear. Habakkuk appeals to God's innermost feelings. That is where God's mercy resides. Scripture speaks about God's bowels, which are moved with compassion. In whom did God fully reveal His mercy other than in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? In Christ, God's wrath and mercy kiss each other. Only for Christ's sake, God looks upon sinners in mercy, upon those who cannot but bow under God's just wrath. God has no pleasure in our death, but that we repent and live. And therefore the Lord Jesus has come into this world. The fullness of God dwells in Him bodily. And therefore we can also read, in wrath, remember Thy Son. Only the Lamb of God silences God's wrath. Only behind Christ's blood are we secure. He is the merciful high priest who makes intercession for His church day and night. And it is for Christ's sake that God revives His work. Shall we pray Habakkuk's prayer? May we all as beggars be drawn to the throne of grace with the confession that we deserve God's just wrath, that Babylon is in our hearts. But we plead the finished work of His Son. For Christ's sake, have mercy upon us. Revive Thy work in the midst of the years for Jesus' sake. And that prayer will be heard.